All right, open up your Bible, if you would, to Revelation chapter 9. And last week, when we were in Revelation, we were introduced to the seven trumpet judgments. And it leaves me kind of awestruck when I read that kind of thing and I see the power of God, seeing that He is able to control and use the elements at His bidding. You know, just to be able to see how God is able to take anything and use it. He can even use you and I. Isn't that amazing? But He uses the elements as well. And so it's awesome when you realize the power being used to flatten out the sun and the moon. You know, to realize that and come to that place. And we saw last week a time of silence in heaven. A time when for 30 minutes there was no noise. People, I believe, the whole of the heavenlies were just in awe as they saw that scroll opened up and showed the debt on that, written on that scroll, and the price that was paid, that left them speechless. So now today that brings us to the fifth and the sixth trumpet judgments. And these two are really interesting because I believe these things are very, very supernatural things taking place here. At this point in the book, we realize that there are some supernatural things that are taking place here, that there's no really natural way to really describe them or explain them. And yet today, people often try to turn these things and these that are going on here into natural things. And I don't really want to rush into doing that because I think there's more to it than just being natural things. I think the History Channel is very good at taking the things of God and turning them into some sort of a natural event. I mean, you know, you watch the History Channel, and I can't watch it for more than 5 minutes. I have to turn it. You know, they start explaining how they crossed the Red Sea because it was only 2 inches deep or something like that. You know, they can't figure out how the whole army die in 2 inches of water then. You know, the whole Egyptian army. It just doesn't make any sense. And so that's essentially what the History Channel is so good at, turning biblical things into giving a natural excuse or example for it. And so I don't believe we have to do that with the Word of God. And we'll see some supernatural things taking place today. And so in chapter 9, we're going to see it and look at a fearful demon host which is to be unleashed by divine permission. See, we have to remember God's in control of all this. You know, sometimes things seem out of control in our lives and in the world today, and yet God's still in control. Even during the tribulation, He's in control because it's the judgment that He's bringing forth upon the earth that's happening. And we'll look at these terrible demons loosed from the pit that will seize upon men and prepare them for the strong delusion and the exaltation of the beast that is going to come and complete this universal power that will take place during that time. So let's pick it up in chapter 9, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke from the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." two more things are coming. So the tribulation period now continues on. It's continuing. We've seen several amazing things take place up to this point on the earth and in the heavens. Now this seeming army of these scorpion-like things that will be released upon the earth. They're going to be coming and released. And so it says there in verses 1 through 3 again, just then the fifth angel sounded and I saw a star fall from heaven. And so this star is personified. He's fallen from heaven. In other words, this is most likely the devil, and because it's in the past tense when you read this, he's fallen from heaven and he fell from heaven. And he was given this key to the abuso, which is the Greek word used there, but we call it the abyss. It's essentially what we call it. And so now when he opens up this abyss, these locust-like creatures come out. It says, and then the smoke, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. There's locusts come upon the earth. Keep in mind that within the abyss, there are these sinful angels or demons that, according to Jude 6, are being held in chains and held captive, held for judgment, that judgment. And so this may be the judgment spoken about here, that these demons that have been held that Jude talked about in Jude 6, now they're being released out of that abyss. And so this abyss is like a furnace. It's referred to as the bottomless pit. A bottomless pit, which could be referring to all who would ever reject God. In other words, it seems like they just keep coming out and coming out and coming out. You know, it's like when you go to Red Robin and get bottomless fries. You know, they just keep bringing them, you know, and he's got more and more and more going on there. You know, and so eventually all of these will end up in the lake of fire. When we get to the end of the book of Revelation, we'll read about that. But the smoke from this pit even affects the atmosphere. It affects the atmosphere. It says, so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of this pit. It affects the atmosphere. So what does all this mean? Well, this makes many wonder about, well, is hell not geocentric? In other words, at the center of the earth. And it's possible, but you know what? I don't really get all caught up in whether it is or it isn't, because I just know that because of Christ, I will not have to go there. It doesn't matter to me where it's at. You know, I know it's real. It's somewhere, and whether it's in the center of the earth or wherever, I know the Bible says it's there, and that these things are going to be released out of that, out of this bottomless pit. And so out of this smoking pit, here come these locust-like creatures. And it says, verse 3 there, it says, and out of the smoke locusts came forward upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And then verse 4 says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So these locusts come, you know, today when locusts enter into a field, they'll go and attack any green thing. They can wipe out a field in nothing flat. You know, they come and they eat all kinds of the green stuff and the harvest and the crops and all those. They can move through and destroy a crop in no time. And so they usually come and they really bug people. You know, but now these locusts are coming to, they come and they don't bug people, they bug the harvest, but now they're coming to bug people. You know, they're coming to bug the people of the land. They have these tails like scorpions. Interesting. They go about stinging with these tails. Now, you know, I wish I didn't have anything to relate to this with, but unfortunately I do. You know, last year I stepped on a scorpion. You know, and I got in the shower. It wasn't in the shower when I got in there, I know. And as I finished the shower, I stepped down and I looked over, and the first thought I had was, I'm going to die. But I'll tell you what, it was painful. It was painful. It immediately went numb. And you know, I called Lois and I said, I stepped on a scorpion. And then I called my bug man. And you know, he was no help at all. I said, you know, I sent him a text. I said, I just stepped on a scorpion. What should I do? He said, have your wife suck this venom out. So I got a new bug man. No, I don't. But it was painful. I can't describe the pain, and I'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute because there's some other things that go along with it, but it was painful. I can't even imagine. It was numb immediately. It stayed numb for almost 5 days, I think a little over 5 days, until I got feeling back in that foot and in that leg up to about my knee. And so it was not a pleasant sight. And so when you read something about like this multitude of these locust-like creatures going about seeing everyone that doesn't have this mark of on their forehead, that were sealed by God, that 144,000 that we read about back in chapter 7. So they have some limits placed on them, though, these locusts. It says, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. So they couldn't sting them, and they can't eat anything that locusts usually eat. They couldn't eat any of the plants and the grass and the other crops of the field. So they're not after vegetation. These locusts are after men. They're after men. So it's very clear that they cannot harm those that are sealed, those of the 144,000, because they're sealed and they can't be touched. Remember that. There's that protection that God has sealed them for, that protection. And they're not able to kill either. So they have these limitations. And then verse 5 says, and they were not given authority to kill, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Torment means to test or to torture by some pressure. And that's the idea here. There was a pressure. And you know, when I stepped on that scorpion, it was like immediate pressure upon that spot and upon my whole leg at that point. So it's that pressure. So this is judgment that's going on here. Judgment upon the earth. This will not be a pleasant time on the earth. This is not going to be a party. Believe me, this is going to be very serious. And then it says they will not be able to die. They'll not be able to die. You know, sometimes you think, man, if this could just happen to anybody else. You know, I was laying there in bed and I was in pain and going on. And I told Lois, I said, boy, I'm glad it happened to me and not you. And she says, me too. She saw the pain I was in. Verse 6 goes on, it says, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. They will. Can you imagine desiring to die, and you just can't do it? This is no way. So this will go on for months. And this may mean that they will be stung multiple times. They may come back and sting a second, a third time. And so when you're stung by a scorpion, you feel the immediate sting and this numbing feeling, like I've already expressed. But it can lead to other very serious symptoms, you know, that can happen to people. Sometimes, besides the numb feeling, people get a difficult time swallowing. Their tongue starts to thicken up and that type of thing. They can get blurred vision from this. And then these seizures that start to happen and then have a difficult time breathing. And, you know, when I text my bug man and got nowhere, I called the poison center or whatever it's called. And they said, well, you should be all right, but if you stop breathing and your throat closes, call 911. Okay, I'll do that. Exactly. But you know, the seizure part, you know, when that, I would lay there in bed and my whole body would just convulse without any ability to stop it. It was just the nerves in your whole body start to be affected. And so as that sting was way down at the bottom of my foot, my whole body would start to shake because of that. And so I have a real clear picture of what Revelation is talking to here, about here. And so I encourage all of us, we need to share the love of Jesus with people. Because no matter who they are, we don't want to see them go through what they're going to be going through during this time especially. There's the seizures, the difficult breathing. And so this will be so miserable that they'll want to die. They'll literally want to die, but they won't be able to. They won't be able to. You know, I'm so thankful I knew that pain was only temporary. But if I had that pain going on and on for a month, 2 months, 3 months, man, I would think, you know, you'd be wanting to get out of that pain no matter what. And yet these people won't be able to. It just won't happen. And this is another evidence of God's power. He's able to withhold death. He's able to stop it from coming. Imagine trying to kill yourself to get out of the pain, and then you're unable to do so. for whatever reason, in some way he's able to stop them from doing it. And this will be a torturous judgment to go through. A torturous judgment. So there's this. These locusts also have kind of a strange look to them. Pick it up in verse 7 again. It says, "Then the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months." So it says they were like horses prepared for battle. Locusts do have kind of a horse-like appearance to them. And matter of fact, the German word for locust is hay horse, and the Italian word is little horse. And so they kind of have this horse-like appearance when you look at a locust. It says on their head were crowns of something like gold. Usually a crown is a symbol of victory or dominion. And so it seems that they will probably, for a time, have some dominion upon the earth while they're going around stinging all these people. And it says their faces were like men and they had hair like women's hair. Could mean the length of the hair was like a woman's hair, or it could also mean even it was it looked very seductive and enticing in a certain way. And then it says their teeth were like lion's teeth. Ferocity comes to mind, a ferocious animal, their teeth in that way. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And this would make it very difficult to destroy them, having this protection, this protective breastplate on them. And then the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. The sound that they make will be terrifying. Just think if you've been stung by them once and then you hear that sound coming back again. Oh no, anything but them. You know, the sound will just be terrifying. People will be totally overwhelmed by them. This is not just a party. This is not just a mild thing. This is serious. Now, but look who's in control of them. Verse 11. "And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek is Apollyon. In both ways that you say it, is the destroyer." He's the destroyer. That's how it's translated. So it's Satan himself is in command of what I think is this demonic army. Really, this demonic army set loose, and the destroyer is heading it up. He's the king over it in that sense. And then verse 12 says, "One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." Woe is referring to affliction in a very intense way. So for 5 months, men have been afflicted. Remember, the angel in the last chapter ended with woe, woe, woe. There was those three woes, and so this is one. The first woe is over. All these effects of the scorpion stings have been going on now for 5 long months. I mean, you know, imagine having that kind of thing in your body and being in that kind of pain for 5 long months. You know, in our world today, it seems like the time is just going faster and faster and faster. And yet, when you're hurting, time just seems to stop. And that's where they're going to be. They're going to be at that place. And so then now the sixth trumpet starts to sound, and the second woe will begin. Let's pick it up in verse 13. It says, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates.' So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen and the 200 million, I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, those who sat on them, and the breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed of these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Wow. So here they are. Another affliction coming upon the earth, and it's associated with the golden altar. Because there it says in verse 13 that the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. The golden altar is where the prayer and incense were. And this, again, could be the answers to the prayers of the martyred saints that we'd read about earlier and how they were there. And so they'd ask, how long, O Lord, are you going to let this go on? And so these angels that we read about, they were bound in the river Euphrates. And so there's these prayers at the golden altar. You see, here in the midst of all of this, you see God is in control. You see, he knows every prayer that's been prayed. He's there looking at these. He's paying attention to them. He doesn't negate that. Some word there I'm trying to say. So these angels are bound by the river Euphrates. And so verse 14 says, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound by the great river. And again, the great river Euphrates, that is a landmark of Babylon. That's the landmark. And remember, again, on Jude 6, it talked about the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode and had been reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And so, again, this may be the day of that judgment. And as we think of Babylon, the Euphrates, this is the location of counterfeit religion and a lot of demonic activity down throughout all of history. Well, this is where a lot of the counterfeit religion, the demonic activity through at Babylon has been. And it seems these demons are prepared. They're prepared for what they're going to do. They've been waiting for this. There's a preparation that had taken place. Then verse 15 says, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. They are literally carrying out the will of God. They're carrying out God's will, and now they kill a third of mankind. And remember, a quarter, a fourth of mankind had already been killed or died. Now a third, so that means over 50% have died. And so things are getting chopped away and chipped away. And then verse 16 says, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. 200 million, the number of horsemen, man. They are described as horsemen, and how big of an army would 200 million be? Wow. I think I read where the first Gulf War back in the 90s had around 1 million soldiers in the field altogether. And this is 200 million. So you kind of get a concept of what's going on here. And John, you know, it's just amazing about this, and you see what's taking place. And then John gives us some details about this army in verse 17. It says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. You know, red and sulfur may be clues for us to know what's going on, because those colors show up in other places in the text. And red is almost always dealing with the dragon. The dragon or the enemy, and the horses, the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. And so this speaks again of being fierce. There's a fierceness behind these. And out of their mouths came this fire, smoke, and brimstone. You know, it's just mindful of demonic activity when you think about that. It's taking place here on a gigantic scale. That's a giant scale of what's taking place, this fire and brimstone, and all of these things are taking place here. And then where it says a third of mankind was killed in verse 18 by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. They kill by this fire, smoke, and brimstone. Brimstone is like a mineral, a rock that can explode. It has an explosive agent to it and that type of thing. And so all of these things are taking place. And the odor, the things that the vapors that brimstone give off are actually deadly, as you would inhale them. And so a lot of this stuff is just not very pretty. It's just not pretty at all. So the power of these horses, though, it says, was in their mouth and their tail. They had power in those. And because in verse 19, it tells us that the power is in their mouth, in their tails, and their tails were like serpents. And so having heads on with them that do harm. So they seem to have these heads at both ends of the thing. And so he describes it like a serpent, and they're used to kill. And again, this is one of the areas where people try to bring a natural, modern thing in to try to explain this away and what this thing is. And many will try to explain this as being an Apache helicopter, you know, or maybe even a flying fortress because it had gun turrets at the front and at the back. And so they try to make these things some sort of modern technology that is being talked about here. And it may look like, you know, if you look at a Apache helicopter, they may look a little bit like a lion's head. I looked at some pictures of them. I didn't think so, but some people, I guess they do. I'm not really sure. I've never seen one in real. I just saw some pictures. But these things have been said about this text. And again, I'm not satisfied with that kind of reasoning when you look at the whole of the scripture. You know, they say that there is a giant army roaming the earth with these mechanisms of war killing people. So they're trying to make some kind of natural means for this to happen. But again, as I mentioned, and the text mentions the Euphrates and this red color and the fire and brimstone, smoke, serpents' tails, all of these things are demonic traits. These are demonic traits as you read them in other areas of the scriptures. And so I think these things, as we see them over and over again in scriptures, so I see this more as a demonic army that is allowed by God to accomplish his judgment here on the earth. He set loose this army of demons just to go forth and do his work and bring forth the judgment on the earth. And so I don't want to try to naturalize and say, yeah, all these helicopters and all this stuff and everything else. You know what? Satan is real, and his demons are real. And, you know, today the world will want to try to temper that and make us think that, oh, he's just this little guy in red pajamas and a pitchfork, you know, on Valentine's cards. I never get that correlation. But, you know, but so here we are with all this demonic army basically going through the world. And so we're well into the tribulation now. Things are really taking place. Man's hearts are getting harder and harder because of what's going on. Think about it. Seems the longer judgment goes on, the harder men's hearts seem to get. You know, remember what happened to Pharaoh's heart. You know, he hardened his heart a little bit, and every plague that came along, he hardened his heart a little bit more. And then finally, it says that God hardened his heart. But he hardened his own heart first and foremost. And so men today are hardening their hearts. And we have to realize that the devil is not our friend. The devil's not our friend, and he's no one's friends, especially mankind's. And today the media is trying to just to kind of normalize him and make him kind of really, you know, handsome in one way. You know, I'm sorry, ladies, but I don't care how good-looking the guys are in Twilight, I don't think it's a godly show. There's something demonic about that. And yet all these women are wooing and wowing because, oh, he's so good-looking. Yeah, that's what Satan wants you to believe, you know. But The Walking Dead, you know, I mean, all these shows. I mean, if you want to see The Walking Dead, just watch the Congress Channel, you know. But he lures men, you know. Satan lures men into believing that they are something when they're really nothing. They're nothing, you know. Then he destroys them after they believe that they can follow him. He brings that destruction. It's all a trap. It looks good until you find yourself getting trapped with no way out. There's just no way out. And, you know, I got drafted, and I remember getting off of the plane at Fort Ord, California, and in the middle of the night and going into this barracks. And I was sitting there, and I looked around, and I felt so helpless and hopeless because I knew, man, I am stuck here for 2 years. There's no way out of this. It was the worst feeling. I know it wasn't quite as bad as the scorpion bite, but it was pretty bad. But you know, you have these things going on, and Satan gets you trapped in with no way out other than Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life. So these demonic armies, they're going and they come along, and their goal is to kill and to torture men. Those who are still alive have been through 5 months of pain and torture at this point. Then this army is coming across the earth, killing some that are left. And so what do you think the news reports will look like during this time? They'll be trying to explain it away some way or another, you know, but CNN's going to be going nuts with it, you know. Oh, and trying to think, and they can't blame the Christians anymore because they're all gone. But they'll try to blame us somehow, I'm sure. But after all of this is going on and all you see all these things, do you think that they maybe start to believe in Jesus then? You know, someone may come along and say, yeah, should we believe in Jesus? That person, God, that all those people were talking about? But some will still try to come up with some kind of explanation for it all. Some kind of natural explanation. And I think that's what some of the danger of trying to make these into Apache helicopters is, because we get that complacent attitude that, yeah, maybe that's what it's going to be, or that, no, it's demonic activity. They see all this, but they still will not believe in God. They won't change their mind. It seems they won't repent. Look at verses 20 and 21. It says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So they will not turn away from what they want. Will not turn away from what they want. Repentance is turning away from your direction and going God's way. So there is this demon worship going on, and they won't stop the murders. There'll still be murder rampant on the streets. Sorceries or drugs. Drugs, sorceries means drugs. That'll probably go through the sky at that point. Their sexual immorality, they'll continue on worse and worse, and their thefts, thieves, and breaking in and looting, you know, and doing things like that. You see that happening in today's world. One little crisis, and they go tear down and burn down places just to loot them, and all those kind of things that we see in the news today. We have this thought going around today that if all men were equal, if we had equality and the same amount of money in the bank, everything would be a lot better. You know, so let's take everything from the rich and give it to the poor. What's actually called covetousness is what it is. But as we know, it never works out. Someone always figures out how to get your share. You know, there's always that going on, you know. So all of these things are going to be happening. Someone figures, you know, there's men are greedy, they're thieves, they're murderers, they're politicians. Oh, no, that wasn't in there. So this worship of self and self-desires continues to go on. It continues on. No matter how bad the wrath of God is being poured out, it says they're still going on. Imagine when the church is gone, many will rejoice saying, aren't you glad all those Christians are gone? Wow, they're out of our way. You know, years ago, I was out of the ministry for a while, and I went to work at the gift shop at the Mirage. And I remember when I got called back into ministry, and I went to my last morning, I was checking, clocking out. The gift shop manager, who was a lady, and mostly all women worked in the gift shop, she looked at me, because they knew I was a pastor. She looked at me and says, oh, now we can talk like normal. Now we don't have to watch our language anymore, you know. I just, oh, whatever, you know. But you know, that's what the world is going to think when the Christians are raptured out of here. Now we can do what we want. You know, we won't have that light blaring in our face anymore. You know, darkness does not like the light. And we are the light of Jesus shining into their sin today. We're that light that shines into that, and they don't like that. They don't like that light shining into their sin. But when the light is gone, then they will think that life will be one big party now. But as you read about today and as you heard about today, that's not a party. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. When it happens, I believe it will be pretty scary. When man is left on his own, it seems that things spiral out of control every time. And it's going to really spiral out of control. Man doesn't ever try to control himself. He only wants to control other things. He seems to always want to control others for what he wants and to gain his way. Even in the face of judgment, man hardens his heart against God. Wow, it's amazing. The time is coming. This time is coming. We can see the pieces of the puzzle beginning to fall into place more and more. There's an urgency in the world today. There should be an urgency in all of us today as we hear about what's coming, because this time is coming, and it's coming soon. This thing that is going on with Iran right now, you know, if you read Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38, and you read about Persia and the way that Persia comes to power and things going on there and what's taking place there in those chapters, world events are happening faster and faster and with much more intensity than ever before. Ever before. In Ezekiel, you read a lot about this Persia coming into world prominence. And guess who Persia is? Iran. You know, and that's what's going on. That's what's taking place. With what have you been hearing about Iran? You know, they're coming in on with nuclear power. And it seems like America's helping them along with that. You know, and there are a lot of other things going on with Iran that we don't hear much about. They're even trying to change the way that oil is purchased by a different currency other than the U.S. dollar. And the U.S. dollar is what keeps control of that. And so if that changes, America will lose control of it totally and completely, and America's role in the world will be completely changed. It'll be like never before, and America's dominance was not on solid ground anymore. We hear that in the news more and more. America does not show up in the end times, and I believe because it's going to be a non-player in the world, and just things like are happening in Iran right now is just the beginnings, just the start of all that. And so if the Christians are taken out of America, it will soon fall flat down. It will be gone. And what happens when you see the Middle East start to heat up? All these things we're talking about here will come to pass soon. So when you see these stirrings of Persia, we should get very interested. We should take heed to that and be real in tune to what's taking place there. Then you have these threats coming out of Iran, and you hear what they think about Israel, and you realize things are getting warmer. They're heating up fast. You know, Iran believes that Israel should just be driven into the sea. You know, they don't even have Israel on their maps. And they've been teaching this to their youth in their textbooks and things for years. They've been pounding that into their mind and into their hearts, and that's why you can see these young people strap on a bomb and go into Israel and blow themselves up, because they believe that's what it is. They're blowing themselves up for Allah, you know, in that sense. And this is what they've been raised to believe. But we need to be aware of what the Bible says, and we need to know the signs of the time. And we need to be alert and telling others, because we're running out of time. I think, believe it, we're running out of time. We need to be going about the Lord's business, telling others what is to come, teaching them, showing them. The rapture of the church could come at any time, at any moment. Then things that we have been reading about here in Revelation, they're going to start happening very quickly. They'll start to take place. Just as the Bible says, they will come. You know, when you see that what is happening in the world today, and then you have to know that it's getting so close, we need to be ready. Think of the attitude of the world toward Christians today. It's just getting worse and worse. You know, just last week on Face the Nation, Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council was on there, and it was supposed to be just a cordial conversation about the Supreme Court deciding on same-sex marriage, but it turned out to be a professional ambush. Bob Schieffer pounced on the Family Research Council, calling them an anti-gay hate group. And so it's getting clearer and clearer before us that the liberal media, including CBS, will stop at nothing to use their power and the power of government to silence, to shame, punish, and fine Americans who embrace traditional marriage and other politically incorrect ideas. You know, they're coming against that. So we can see more and more the things written about in Revelation are going to happen. They're going to happen, and we can rejoice. Rejoice in knowing that we won't be here for them. You know, we're not going to be here, but don't allow that for you to become complacent about what's going on now. We can't just sit back in the rocking chair, fold our arms, and say, Maranatha, come quickly. I'm saved and I know it, and I'm just allow that happen. Don't allow that attitude to happen, because when the rapture comes, you know, we know we're all going to be out of here, but don't allow that to allow you to be complacent for today. You know, I don't have to worry about the stinging things. I don't have to worry about them now. Mankind left on his own spirals, spirals out of control. He spirals down. So with this urgency in mind, here we have to ask ourselves today, you know, where is my heart? Where am I at? Am I hardening my heart? Or am I listening to the Word of God? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You know, it talks about they hardened their heart and they would not repent. They would not repent. And what does repentance mean? Again, it means you're going your way. You're doing things, your things, and the things that they wanted. They don't want to get let go of the things they want. And so they keep going their way. Repentance means to let go of the self, turn and go completely opposite direction, turn and go toward God. And God is saying to all of us today, and I don't know, you know, if you were came today thinking, oh, it's just another religious service. No, it's time to get serious about the church, about what the job the church is. And Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men. A disciple means you teach them, you lead them, you in the ways of God. You don't just slap them with a scripture and you know, slap them on the back and, well, you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus. No, we need to love them into the kingdom in a way and let them see the importance of what's about to happen. Things are happening. So today there's a call of repentance. You know, it's a place of saying, you know what, I don't want to harden my heart just because I want to hold on to something of the world, something that I want, something that I think is so important. Now, I believe the Lord today is saying, let go of those things. Turn and come to Him. Do not harden your heart. You know, I was thinking about this all week as far as hardening of the heart. You know, what does it really mean to harden your heart? Well, I think it's when you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit shows you something and you're just like really convicted of it. It's like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do that anymore. Then you close up the Bible and you walk away and you do it. That's a hardening of your heart. You're hearing the Holy Spirit. It's very clear and evident what He's speaking to you and showing you, and you still hold on to it. You still want what you want instead of what the Scriptures had told you, what the Holy Spirit had told you. So I think we all need to come to a place of realizing that God is calling us to repentance of some things today. You know, none of us have it all together. You know, I love that Paul wrote, after he'd walked with the Lord for several years, Paul wrote, it's not that I've obtained, but I press on toward that upward call in Christ Jesus. So sometimes there's just that place of getting to the place where we say, okay, Lord, I'm tired of fighting it on my own. I'm tired of trying to make my way. I need to go your way. There's a place and a time to soften our hearts to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, I repent. I turn back to you today. And so that's what I want to call out today, is that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I ask that, Father, as we close this service right now, Lord, as we read about your judgment upon the earth, Lord, we're thankful that as believers we can know that we're raptured away, that we've been set free from fearing death. And yet, Lord, I know that you have so much more for each of our lives. Lord, as we allow things to come into our lives that separate us from you, that they hinder us from receiving the total blessings that you have for us. Lord, I know we all have those struggles. We all have that self-centered behavior that we just need to turn over to you. Or you tell us to pick up our cross daily and follow you. And so that meant to die, Lord. And so as we would die to self today, that's the call that we would have. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would move through this room right now. And if there's anyone in here today that maybe you've been out going your way, maybe you've been out hanging on to maybe some of the things of the world and thinking that your way is better. You want this. And maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, say, it's not good for you. It's not right for you. Come this way, my child, and I will bless you. And so I want to close in prayer today, and I want to pray for you today, if that's you. If you're here today and maybe you sense that you've maybe been hardening your heart. Maybe you're here today and you've been thinking that maybe it's just a religion. It's church isn't that important, and I don't need the Lord. Today I need you to know that you need the Lord. We need to escape this judgment that is coming. We need to escape these stings of the scorpion. We need to be able to know that you are real and alive in our lives. And so right now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you just want me to pray for you as we close this service for repentance and for just a turning back to Jesus, then I want you to raise up your hand and say, yes, that's me. I need that today. Anyone at all? Raise up your hand and I'll know to pray for you today. So, Father, I do pray for all of us in here today now that your word would just continue to speak to our hearts. Your word would be clear and evident into our lives, and that we would be led by your Spirit each and every day. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us a way of escape. But help us now to be able to be on fire for you, that we would go and light a fire under those around about us, our loved ones, that we would be able to share the good news of a risen Savior that died for all of our sins. And so help us to be those lights. Help us to be that salt. Help us to be those ambassadors of you that will be able to continue to go forth and build the body of Christ for your glory. So we thank you for that now and praise you and be with us all now today. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up and worship the Lord together.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. So with the sinner's heart, you lead us by still waters and to mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So
this week now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good one.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Greetings this morning. What a beautiful day we have today. Mother's Day. And so before we start, I'd like to have everyone that is a mom to please stand up. There we go. All right. I want to pray for you today that the Lord would bless you. So let's start out with prayer for moms. Warren, when did you have your baby? You're as red as Jennifer's blouse behind you. Used to tradition, see, you've got to break that mold. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each lady here today that has been honored to be a mom. And Lord, I think about as we pray to our Heavenly Father, and yet, Lord, you've given us this individual here on earth called mom, a mother that is able to reach out and to console and to comfort and to guide and direct through their loving care that you've implanted within them. And so I just praise you for each and every lady here that has been able to bring another life into this world through your will. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of them that they would be triply blessed today. That Lord, you would bless them, pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, and just allow them to know how very, very special they are to you and to their children and their families. And so I pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that if any problems are occurring with them and their children, that Lord, today that restoration would happen. There would be reconciliation and peace. And so we thank you for that and pray your blessing be upon them now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Warren and everybody else can stand up for our memory verse. I know that was a good one. All right. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Revelation 3:10 through 12a. All right, let's worship the Lord.
Your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. Remember your children. holy, God Almighty, was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down. Holy is your name in all the earth, righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you touch is just and true. Holy, holy God are you. Holy, holy God Almighty, was it is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down. And holy is your name in all the earth, righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you done is just and true. Holy, holy God are you. Holy is your name in all the earth, righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you done is just and true. Holy, holy God are you. All blessing, all honor belong to you. All power and all wisdom is yours. All blessing, all honor belong to you. All power and all wisdom is yours. Name in all the earth, and righteous are your ways, so merciful, and everything you do is just and true. Holy, holy God are you. Holy is your name in all the earth, righteous are your ways, so merciful, everything you do is just and true. Holy, holy God are you. Holy God are you.
Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you that you are holy and mighty. We thank you that you are right, Lord, and that you are still merciful to us, Lord, when we make mistakes. Lord, we thank you that you would just give us this time, Lord, just to worship you. Pray, Lord, that you bless as we worship, and then you speak to us through your word, Lord. Refresh us, Lord. Now guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Amen.
Everything in you, it's all at your command. There is no end to your domain. The planets shake, galaxies tremble, they turn within your hand. There is no end to your domain, no height or depth, you don't sustain. Great in all the earth is your glory, O God. The universe declares how amazing you are over history. Everything in you, it's all your command. There is no end to your domain. No height or depth, you don't. sustain. Reign in all the earth is your glory, O God. The universe declares how amazing you are. Over history and eternity, you are. Declares how amazing you are over history and eternity. You alone are Lord and King. All is stripped away, and I simply come. Oh, you just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. About you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, King of endless love. No one could express how much you deserve. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the evening comes. Bless the soul, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy to fight. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. In your holy name, Lord, I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Lord, we do worship your name, the name that is above all names, that at the there will be that time where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And so, Lord, we worship your name today because it's all about you. Lord, there's so many times we get in the way, so many times we focus on us. And yet, Lord, let us turn from that and to look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith today. So we thank you for this opportunity just to worship and to praise you now and to come together as your children. So we give you glory now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, greeting once again, family. Welcome. Go ahead and stand up, greet one another, and we'll be back with the announcements in just a moment. All right, gentlemen, if you'll come forward, give us an opportunity to pray for our offerings and our missionaries this morning. All right, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for allowing us to be gathered here this morning to worship you, to praise you, to enter into your very throne room. And now, Lord, we would just continue to praise you and worship you through the giving of our offerings. And Father, I pray that these would be used by for your kingdom and by the Holy Spirit just to bless those here and around the world to bring others to Jesus. And so we pray for the 21 missionaries in India, that, Lord, these funds would continue to bless them, provide for them, help them to have direction and protection. And, Lord, for the Joshua Fund in Israel as well, we thank you for that ministry and the way that you're raising up people there to be able to go out and share the good news of Jesus, the real Messiah in that area of the world. Father, for Mario down in La Paz, Mexico, with the orphanage and the ministries that he's involved in, I just thank you for that work that you're doing there and how you're using him And we pray that you would continue to provide for each and every one of his needs. For here locally, for Calvary Downtown Outreach, we thank you for reaching out to the homeless through that ministry. And we pray that they would continue to have the provisions that they need to meet those needs. And so we thank you for that. For the Women's Resource Center and the work that you're doing there, and for having godly counselors giving godly wisdom to people when they so desperately need it. We pray for each and every one of them. Pray for the furtherance of that ministry now. And for here in Henderson, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, of your provision, of meeting our needs according to your blessings and your riches and glory. And so we pray your will be done with these finances. And I pray your blessings be upon them and bless those that give today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, I have a few announcements. May 9th, that was yesterday, I believe. That's another new announcement, or day before. I got the wrong announcement there. Anyway, May 16th, there we go, is Ladies Bible Study, where they'll be going through the Gospel of Luke. And so I encourage you, ladies, to come on out and be a part of that. And if you've gone to it and maybe you see a lady sitting around you that hasn't been there, invite them. Take a hold of their hand. Say, you know what, it's a great study. We're really enjoying it. And we could use you there to give your input as well. The thing about the Bible study is, you know, when you have a group of people together, the whole reason is support one another and get that feedback from everybody in a way that is an encouragement and uplifting. And so that's a real blessing for that. And so keep in mind for that. And also coming up on May 30th, from 4 to 7, over at the Henderson Pavilion, they're going to be having an event called Laughter for All. And there's going to be a Christian comedian there. They're going to have music by Crystal Lewis. And if you remember back in the 90s, she had a real popular song called Precious Lord. They're going to have a musician T-Bone, and Izzy Ray is going to be there. And this is set up essentially for an evangelistic event. And they're going to have some things after the thing is all done to be able to give away to the people as far as food and other things that are going to be there. So it's really set up and desired to grab a hold of your neighbor and take them over to the Henderson Pavilion and just be able to listen to some good comedy and some great music and some other things, and hopefully have them come to know the Lord. And so that'll be May 30th from 4 to 7 at the Henderson Pavilion. And just a kind of a note ahead of time, our baptism is coming up next month on June 26th, and it will be from 6 to 9. And we rent out the whole Black Mountain Rec Center for our baptism, and we have the baptism. Then we have a great big potluck and then a swim night for the whole family. So it's always great family time, and so I encourage you to plan that date and put it aside, and we'll be having more information and sign-up sheet and cost and all that will be coming real soon. And so I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up about it today to kind of get you to thinking about it. And if you have never been baptized, just let you know that that's a great time to come on out. And if you have been baptized, just come and support those that are being baptized. And so we'll pick up on that and get some more information coming ahead of time on that. Also, now we have some prayer requests, and so let's take these before the throne today. Father, I thank you. Thank you that as we come to you this morning, Lord, we come humbly before your throne, acknowledging that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And as we come before the Heavenly Father today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would just pray that as you hear these requests, that you would allow.